grow weary in doing good, but Lord, that we should be faithful as you are faithful to us. That's a lesson we didn't get to read, but Lord, we understand St. Paul's words that we should be reminded that you are faithful even when we're not, and that you want us to know your power each and every day. Lord, as we get into these last days of the church year, remind us that you are still in control, that you want us to change, and you want us to be more like you each and every day, so that we, like you, trust that no matter what happens, we are in the palm of your hands. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, don't really have time for a sermon today, but it's obvious that we needed time to pray and worship, especially pray. So I believe the Lord knows what he's doing. But I would like to close by just sharing a few thoughts. And the thoughts are that as we heard the gospel lesson today, did you hear what Jesus was saying? We started out in chapter 9 on this way to the cross. In chapter 19, Jesus enters into Jerusalem. The first thing he does is weep for Jerusalem and cleanse the temple. Then as they're going along, in chapter 20, now if you ever want to anger people, tell them what they're doing is wrong. Okay? When he cleansed the temple, he made a lot of enemies. So chapter 20, if you got your Bibles, look this up. In chapter 20 of Luke, you can see that they start to challenge his authority. How can you do this? Where do you get your authority from? And so they send in the big guns. They send in the Pharisees and the scribes, and they come to Jesus and they challenge him on his authority. They challenge him on paying taxes. Remember this? Or should we pay taxes to Caesar or not? They challenge him on the resurrection. You know, if they ask about this wife who was a wife to one brother and to another brother, and whose wife will she be, right? Remember that? And he says, you don't understand. And so they challenge him. And then chapter 21 starts with Jesus watching the people as they're coming forward their offerings. You know, like we do here, they bring their offerings to the front as they're going into the temple, and they bring their offerings, and there's a lot of pomp and circumstance for those who have bags and bags and bags of offering. And he looks at this one widow who brings all that she has, and he says, that was of much more worth than all of you other people who gave out of your excess. Now, if you want to insult and get people upset and get them, you know, opposed to you and to the change that God wants to bring in their life, talk about their wealth. In the world, anyways. Right? So, Jesus is not making friends, is what I'm trying to tell you. So it's interesting because our text starts with his disciples trying to get Jesus off of this. You know, have you ever had a friend who keeps getting himself in trouble, putting his foot in his mouth, doing things that you just know? I think that kind of the Trump handlers probably felt like that a lot during this campaign. You know, just get off of Twitter already, you know. I could just hear them talking to him. Just quit it, you know. And that's what happens. You know, you got a friend, and so you want to redirect them to something positive. So they're in the temple. So what do these disciples who want to get Jesus off of this negativity and this, you know, getting people upset with them, what do? They redirect his attention to this marvelous temple. Have you not ever done this? Tried to help someone who looked like they're digging a really deep hole? Say, look at the sky, you know, and that's what they're doing. They're redirecting Jesus. They're saying, look at this massive, wonderful temple, Lord. Look at this. Look at these wonderful stones. Look at this wonderful wall. Look at these wonderful offerings. Look at this. Oh, it's amazing. Can you just see them? Don would do this much better than me, but you know, really, it would be amazing. And they want to redirect him, get him off this negativity, get him off this change stuff, and get him back to good things, right? Help your brother. And what does he say to them? He says, I got news for you. It even gets worse. Right? Not even one stone will be left on another. This temple that you think is so grand, it's going to be gone. He definitely wasn't writing a book of how to gain friends, influence people, was he? He's telling the truth. And it's interesting because he was so forceful in his conviction that what happened to the, what did the people say? Tell us when. When will these things happen? What are signs that we can be aware of? Because they recognize that his conviction and his passion is true and they want to know when. And what does he say? For those of you who have your Bibles open on your phones, or what does he say? Yeah. He says, I'm going to give you some information, but I want to preface it by saying, don't believe everything that people say. For there are many who are going to come in my name. There are many who are going to tell you things. They're going to want to tell you things that you want to hear, and they're going to be wrong. They're going to be wrong. I mean, there are movements that have gone on over and over again that said, well, the Lord came here and the Lord came there and we just didn't see him. And he says, I'm just telling you right now, don't believe them. I mean, there was a news thing yesterday or the day before that said there's this group in Texas that's building an underground city. Yeah, because they're so concerned about the way things are going. They want to be protected, so they're building this underground city. I mean, you understand what he's saying? He's saying, don't listen to people. How many of us should have listened to that before the election? How many of us should be listening to it now after the election? Don't listen to everybody. Listen to the Lord. And then he goes on to say, what does he say next? Talks about the persecution, right? Or he talks about, what does he say? Sorry, I'm trying to get through this here. Yeah, when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified, for these things must first take place, but the end will not be at once. So what is he saying? He's saying, don't get scared when you think about all these changes that are happening. Would you say this has been a week of change? I mean, don't be terrified by the changes that are happening in the world. When you hear this, what should you do? Know that these must first take place. Know that God has a plan. Know that he's in charge. Know that whatever happens, he is in control. Amen? Amen. Okay. Then he goes on to say, then he said to them, nation will rise against nation, a kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes in various places, famine and pestilence. There will be terrors and great rains, great signs from heaven. Sorry. He says that just like a matter of fact, right? He said, if you want signs, here you go. And then I want you, if you have your Bibles, not the church Bibles, but your Bibles, circle the but. Because it's very important, right? But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your... Just think about this for a second. What did he just say? He said, but they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. Doesn't sound like fun, does it? This is not, you know, and yet what does he say it is? An opportunity! Yay! Yippee! You know, exactly! I just want to, I know I'm really running, and if you have to leave, I understand, I'm sorry. Like I said, when we start late and I just felt the Lord really needed for people to pray, so I apologize for people that have to go, but I just want to share something with you. I listened on Wednesday night, we had this thing for veterans, and we had Captain Plum, who was a prisoner in the Hanoi Hilton. He started out his presentation by walking back and forth, three steps, because his cell for 6 years was 8x8, meaning he could take three steps. So he starts out in the dark with three steps, turns, and does three steps back. He did that for 6 years. Can you think, just think about that for a second. And he said, here he was, a pilot, went through university, did all these things, was running all the time, barely found 50 minutes to call his mom. And all of a sudden, he's in prison for 6 years, walking back and forth in an 8-foot square. And he said what changed was when one of the prisoners said, it's all about your mindset. And he saw it not as an imprisonment, but as an opportunity. He said, I had more time to think and to do things than I had ever had in my life. I went back through, I planned out my whole life for the next 100 years. I mean, he said, I had so much time. And that, now he's a devout Christian. And I think that happened during that time. He didn't talk too much about it, but, you know, I mean, just imagine going from being run to having 6 years of solitary. And do we look at the trials and tribulations that we go through as opportunities? Should we look at them as opportunities? According to Jesus, we should look at them as opportunities. And so this is what he says. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it therefore in your minds not to meditate beforehand how to answer. How many of us are guilty of this? I spent, yeah, some of you, like two hands. I mean, is that not what we do? Don't we kind of think about how we would respond to things? Now, it's okay. I mean, in Rotary, call that an elevator speech. In Rotary, we say, if somebody asks you what this pin is, you're supposed to give them the history of Rotary and how they should become a Rotarian in a minute. That's fun to watch, actually, when people try to do that. But anyways, it's called an elevator speech, and you're supposed to prepare beforehand. And yet Jesus says, don't! Because I'm going to give you words and wisdom that even your enemies and your adversaries will not understand or contradict. Isn't that awesome? He's going to speak through us. He's going to do through us what he wants done. And that's where we are to surrender and submit. Because then he goes on to say, you know, you're even going to have your family hate you because of me. But I want you to, again, circle butt on in verse 18 there. But not a hair on your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. And then he does the ultimate thing for a Hebrew person. These are Hebrew people he's talking to. He says, but when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are inside the city depart, and let not those who are out of the country enter it. For these are days of vengeance to fulfill all that is written. Alas, for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days, for there will be great distress upon the earth and wrath against the people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Now just think about this. Remember, he just came into Jerusalem. He just wept for them. He turned over the tables. He just challenged their leaders. Now he just told them that the temple is going to be destroyed. And not only the temple, but now what is he said? He said, Jerusalem, the center of the people of God, the center of God's presence in the world, the center of the existence of the people will be totally gone. How many of us kind of think like the United States is going to be here forever? Are we in control of it? No. Providence. God's providence. So it's easy for us to understand. Now, I want you to listen to this. He says, and there will be signs in the sun and moon and stars and on the earth, distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. You think the riots are something? Just wait. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Have you ever thought about that? The powers of the heavens will be shaken. If people think they're going to miss this, the guy had a Jehovah's Witness come to me one time and say, you know, Jesus actually appeared in 1914. I said, really? I guess the people in 1914 missed it. Well, it was 1917. It was 1970. You see, nobody's going to miss this, are they? It's going to be evident to everyone. The shaking of the very heavens themselves. And then he says this. He says, and then you will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Or they will see, sorry. He says, everyone will see, right? They will see. Everyone will see There will be no one who misses this. And I want to close with this. Now, when these things begin to take place, what are we supposed to do? Moan, build an underground cave, and go into it? Are we supposed to get depressed? Are we supposed to cry? No? What are we supposed to do? What does he say? Yeah. Straighten up. Lift up your heads. Because your redemption is drawing near. Brothers and sisters, that's the call for us. To stand up. To fix our eyes on Jesus. To know that he's in control. And to be bold and courageous. And to know that nothing happens without him. And he has everything in his hands. Amen.